is a time of year where we have a focus on generosity. As I said, in 2 weeks' time, it's going to be our harvest festival. It's going to be a wonderful celebration. We're looking forward to it. But that's traditionally been a time when Christians are forced to think about their giving to the church and how they can maintain its ministry. But actually, we don't just squeeze that into one day and say, oh, all right, we've done that. Tick. So like last year, we're going to spread it over 3 Sundays to help us get a much bigger picture of God's generosity. I mean, in fact, we could do that every single Sunday. And even if we live for 200 years, we'd never run out of stuff to give thanks to God for. But I want us to start this morning in a slightly different way by addressing the theme of anxiety. Anxiety is a horrible thing. Many of us experience it from time to time. I myself have had to battle with anxiety in the past, and sometimes it rears its ugly head. It's a horrible thing if you've experienced that. But there's a particular link, isn't there, about anxiety and money. In fact, I think there's probably nothing that can cause us more anxiety than our money. Where will I get it? Will I have enough? What happens if I run out? So it makes sense to talk about anxiety and generosity at the same time. And I think that's right, because that's exactly what Jesus does. He addresses those two things together. Jesus spoke about money pretty much more than anything else, apart from the kingdom of God. But he spoke about money more than pretty much anything else. Why? It's because it causes us so much anxiety. And what makes Jesus qualified to speak on this subject? I was thinking about this week. So what is it about Jesus that makes him particularly qualified to speak about anxiety and money? Well, I think it's because the Bible says that no one is richer than Jesus. No one is wealthier than the Son of God. And the Bible tells us that from before the beginning of eternity, Jesus has always existed, the Son of God has always existed, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the old language of the authorized version talks about Jesus being in the bosom of the Father. It's this wonderfully intimate place. And if we remember what James said in that short reading, I love that reading, slightly biased because I've got a son called James, but I love that reading, where it says that every perfect gift is from the Father. So if the Father is the giver of every perfect gift, and the Son of God has always been in the Father's heart, in his bosom held close, well, what more could Jesus want than isn't already his? He's got everything that he could ever want. So no one is richer than Jesus, but at the same time, no one became poorer. It says in 2 Corinthians, for our sake, he who was rich became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Think about Jesus, how he was poor. He was born in a poor land. He was born to poor parents. He was laid in a poor manger. He had no fixed address. He died a poor man's death and even was put in someone else's grave because he didn't have his own. No one became poorer than Jesus Christ. So I think that uniquely qualifies him to talk about generosity and money. But the way Jesus spoke about generosity, it also liberates people. It has this amazing power to free us from the things that make us anxious. So if the idea of you giving money away at the moment causes you anxiety, if you're wearing one of these smartwatches and it says, oh, your heart rate's going up a lot at the moment, this idea of talking about anxiety, then you're probably thinking about it wrong. That's why we've got these next few Sundays to readdress how we think about that. It doesn't say in the Bible that God loves an anxious giver or God loves a scared giver. It says that God loves a joyful giver. Why? Well, because he's a joyful giver. He likes people like himself who give out of just joy, just like giving. But I don't know about you. How can we get to that stage? How can we get to being a joyful giver? How can we replace the anxiety we have about money and being generous with the kind of freedom and joy that even if you were super generous about something, it doesn't hurt you. But it actually makes you feel more alive. How can we get to that stage? Well, think about for a moment how it feels like when you're in the company of someone who's really generous. I remember one of the first things that someone did. I can't remember, I was probably about 8 or 9, and I was at a family wedding, and I remember one of my uncles, he came over to me and he said, any drink, obviously non-alcoholic, any drink that you want, I'll get it for you. And I think I probably ordered non-stop Cokes in those little glass bottles, you know, loads and loads. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. Here's someone who's just so generous. And I just didn't have to worry about anything else. It feels good, doesn't it? When you're around people who are really generous, it makes you feel great. And the one thing that you don't feel is anxiety. You experience that. When you're around people who are generous, it's very hard to feel anxious. So what we need then to combat that kind of anxiety we have about money and generosity is we need someone who is totally trustworthy and generous. And the Bible makes it clear that we find that alone in God. So we're going to start today not by thinking about how generous we're going to be. That's not for today. We're going to start today by just basking in God's generosity in the readings. And just let them speak for themselves, okay? Just bask in God's generosity. So let's have a look at Genesis 1. Just read verse 26. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And if you like that last bit, the creeping things, a bit scary, isn't it? But what this shows us in this part of Genesis is God's generous provision in creation. God's generous provision in creation. We see the creation of humankind in his image. That is such an important thing for us to keep coming back to, that we're not here by accident. We're not just slightly better than some other animals or basically the same. There's something distinct and different about each and every one of us, about human beings. We are made in God's image. Well, what does that mean? Well, we don't have time to unpick all of that, but it at least means that we are special. We are different. And God shows his generous provision in creation by providing two sexes, male and female, that are similar and different at the same time. They complement each other. Adam was insufficient on his own. In fact, God talks about making a helper for Adam. And that word helper is also used about God himself. So it's talking about someone who is equal and different at the same time. Two sexes that complement each other. And actually here we're getting this idea of God's go-between people, his priests, between the creation and between him. People to stand in the middle, to represent God to the creation and to represent the creation to God. And this is one of the readings that we often have at weddings, and we get this wonderful image of this man, this woman, married as a metaphor for Christ and the church. That's why marriage is such a beautiful but a solemn thing. It speaks of Christ's love for his bride, the church. But we also see God's provision in other ways. He tells them to be fruitful and multiply, have babies. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That's how God is going to provide, that he has made these people. When people can conceive, it's absolutely incredible. You know, three children that we've had and given birth to, and each time it was just incredible. Absolutely amazing what they go through. God's provision then through multiplication. But we also see God's provision of food. God is so generous. He's giving all of these things so that his creation can be full and overflowing with joy. I wonder if you have a favorite fruit or vegetable. Well, why don't you, next time you have that, why don't you thank God for that, whether it's a banana or a kiwi fruit or asparagus or whatever it is. God's provided that and everything else so that we can live full lives. But as we're reading this bit of Genesis, we get this impression, this is an awful lot of stuff for just two people, isn't it? You see, God's generosity, it knows no bounds. At the beginning, God made sure that Adam and Eve had more than they ever needed. This is a whole worldwide supply for two people. And it just speaks into God's amazing generosity, doesn't it? So that's the first thing, just basking God's generous provision in creation. Give thanks for that. Second thing, let's have a look again at James 1, 17 and 18. He writes, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Well, this second point shows us God's generous provision in redemption. So the first one we've seen about creation, God creating everything for us. But the second one about God making sure that we've got everything we need in life in a fallen world. Because the story of Genesis is that humanity turned their back on God, they believed a lie, sin entered the world, and the world is broken. But God provides a way out for us, redemption. And James tells us that God is the source of every good gift. So every good thing, it doesn't just randomly come from somewhere. Ultimately, it all comes from God. God is the source of every good thing. And James says that God doesn't change. He's not going to be generous one day and then tomorrow he's going to change his mind. He's same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. And the wonderful thing that we celebrate as believers in the Lord Jesus is that God has given us new birth. He's birthed us into a whole new reality where we have a relationship with him. And Genesis was talking about how God has given us fruits to eat. James is talking about how God has given us as fruits. Do you see that? He now gives us his fruits. We're like the first fruits. So that this wonderful tree that is God's plan to redeem us, well, we are like the fruits on that. People that James was writing to 2,000 years ago, they were some of the first. Well, we are extra fruits on that tree. And God provides for us at every point. Think about our faith. He's provided the sacrifice necessary to take away the penalty for our sins. And he's provided the message bearers, people who have shared that with us up until this point. In ourselves, he provides the conviction we need to know that we need to turn to God. But he also provides us the faith and the hope not to let go of him during difficult times. So that's the second thing. God's generous provision is seen in redemption. And then lastly, these words are so powerful, aren't they? These words of Jesus in Matthew 6. He says, therefore, do not worry. Simple, isn't it? It's simple and really hard. Some, if you're worrying and some says to you, don't worry, it's quite, you need something else, don't you? So he nails it. He says, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles, so the other nations who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's saying God knows everything that you need. So that's our third thing. Don't worry about your life, because God provides for all your needs. Jesus is speaking here on the famous Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying don't worry about life's basic needs. Now, there's a balance to be had here. You could say, oh, that's great. Well, I don't need to work anymore, and I can just stay at home and not do anything. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Because God doesn't take away our need to work to provide, but he does take away the anxiety of feeling that it's all down to us. Do you see the difference? He doesn't take away the need for us to work in order to provide for ourselves and families and others, but he does take away the anxiety of feeling that it's all down to us. Because he says he knows exactly what we need. So God's care for creation shows his greater care for us. And I find this really helpful. Maybe if I'm finding things a bit challenging or something's happened in my life which has caused me to feel a bit sad, seeing the birds, I find, is just so helpful. Particularly if you get like one of these murmurations or just if a seagull flying overhead. Jesus is saying, think about the birds. They're not weighed down thinking, oh, I don't know where I'm going to eat today. They go out there. God provides for what they need. And then they fly back to their nest at the end of the day. They're not spending ages in the nest feeling anxious, are they? They're going out. God knows what they need. And if God knows what these birds need, well, then he certainly knows what we need. And we'll make sure that we're provided for. But Jesus doesn't just say, don't worry about things. He also says, worry, or rather think about something else. Think about the kingdom of God. Think about God's worldwide family. Seek that first rather than seeking out food and clothes and money. Seek first his kingdom. Seek what it means to live with him as your king. We're calling this journey of generosity, and it is a journey. It's a journey for us as a church. It's a journey for each one of us individually as to where we are and where we end up. But actually, I was thinking about this. It's circular. It keeps on going round. So we start with our relationship with God. If you're not sure you have a relationship with God, start there before you think about how generous I should be. Please start there first. That's what it's built out of. But then when we're in that relationship, we experience his generosity. We don't see things as just happy accidents, but we see them as God's good gifts to us. So we start with a relationship, we experience his generosity. That leads us to becoming more generous. And as we become more generous, we become more like him, and that then feeds back into our relationship with him. So it's actually circular. Our relationship with him, we experience his generosity, we become more generous. That feeds back into our relationship and round and round and round. So before we start thinking about our own finances or giving, I want us to spend time meditating, thinking about God's goodness. When can you do that? Well, when you open the curtains in the morning, think about God's generosity. When you're waiting for the kettle to boil, think about God's generosity. When you're waiting at the bus stop and five buses have gone past and none of them have stopped, think about God's generosity. When you're at work and you see people who are bickering with one another, think about God's generosity. When you look outside and you see the birds, you see the lilies, remember it's all God's generous gift. The heart of the Father who wants to bless us with every good thing. Amen.